The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Finally, Matt and I are doing a full episode together. The great John Anik and the and a tremendously improved fighter, Sage Northcutt, calls in. And I don't mean to say tremendously improved like he wasn't great, but I just didn't want to say great twice. I was trying to come up with different adjectives. But now it sounds like I'm shitting on Sage, but I'm not. He was great.
What?
I don't know.
Jaws are dropped throughout this arena. Nobody is sitting down.
Chasing that finish. Elbows raining down.
Oh! On the button!
Are you kidding me?
Oh, he hurt him again! He's out!
This is UFC Unfiltered. And now, your hosts, Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
We're back, baby! We're back!
Yes.
I'd lower that too, Jimmy. Sorry.
No, but the audio has sounded a little weird to me since we were testing the mics. It's a little better now.
I'm just saying it was like a reflex. The second I just screamed that, your hand went there as quick like a ninja and you lowered that shit.
Yeah,
yeah, I could be a little loud. I'm kind of known for that, you know? Like a shot of espresso, like a cold shower. What?
Yeah.
It wakes you up.
It does.
You know, somebody might be listening to this when they're driving home or if they're a hard day's work or if the first thing in the morning on their way to go work out.
Sure.
I worked out this morning.
I
feel freaking fantastic, Jimmy. I just now got back into swinging things. I feel like I was gone a while, and I was gone a while. I was gone at least 10 days. How long was I gone for? Fuck.
Not longer than that.
I just got back a few days ago, and when we did get back, me and my family from Vegas, we got back at almost 2 in the morning. We got back, and then by the time we got home and showered, it was like 5 a.m., and So we were off a little bit, Jimmy. I'm not going to lie. My schedule was off, but now
you
I'm back.
What time did you leave? Your flight was what time?
A flight from Vegas was like 4:30.
Why so late?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm on top of that. I suppose you have your morning flight.
Dude, I just know. My wife just booked shit. I don't know what's going on. But I mean, listen, we had a fantastic time in Vegas.
Yeah. You have 2 weeks, right?
We were there for a little bit, 12 days, maybe 10 days, 11 days, something like that. But we had a good time, man. We enjoyed it at the Red Rock. We hung out there, and some days we just hung out at the pool and just chilled out, saw a movie. Other days we'd walk around. There's like shops near there, and you know.
Did your little girls get to sleep on the plane? Do they sleep your kids?
Yeah,
at that time, maybe that's why your wife probably booked a night flight so
they
could sleep.
Yeah, but no, they pretty much stayed awake.
On the plane?
Yeah. It wasn't like we did the red eye, you know. It was like 4 p.m. So most they stayed awake, and my little one fell asleep. But you know, they had a good time. I had a good time,
sure.
And it's just been a whirlwind of a couple of weeks, Jimmy. Just a lot of shit went down, and then we had those shows from Vegas. The second one, they were kind of clusterfucks, but
yep.
It was still even. Look at Chris Medusa shaking his head.
Let's let it go.
But no, why let it go?
The second one was good, of course.
Except for the driving, the car
company.
Hold on.
Yeah, that was stupid.
What are you talking about? The second one was good. I had to go late. By the time I got there, Jimmy had to make a flight.
By the way, that second
Chris Medusa, stop trying to save face.
That company
fucked
me.
It's not a bad thing to talk about. I talk about a fight I lost.
No, for sure. But I'm saying, but the second one was good. I mean, it was annoying that you couldn't get there because of the driver, but I thought the episode was good.
The episode was good, but the car company fucked him, and they fucked me. When I landed, there was no car waiting for me. So, and then Kenny, my road manager, who's the best, he literally is a fucking robot. He loses no information.
Yeah.
But he goes, "That's the same one that fucked up with Matt." And I'm like, "He's fucking right."
Is it really?
Son of a bitch. It has to be, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That is funny.
And
but we got it done. And I do like that Sam Alvey. He was a pleasure.
That was the upside. I met Sam the night before. I think Matt probably knew him. It was at that Israel Adesanya fight.
Yeah.
Fuck, was Sam a good guy, man? Sitting behind me, we were talking about the fights. I'm like, I really like this dude. He'd be fun. Great.
It's not an act with that smile. He's a
It's really not, dude. He just, and he wears a smiling Sam Alvey. He's a psychopath. Sam Alvey's a psychopath. Yeah. What a fun dude, man. So I would have him on anytime.
Fun. Fun, good energy.
And a killer.
I like him.
A fucking killer.
He's a fucking tough guy.
Because there's that smile, and he's like, no, I like a late stoppage. You're like, Jesus Christ, he's smiling. Nuts. Sam is nuts.
I like him.
I do too, man. What a he was a great guest.
Yeah, I like the way he says his name too. Smiling Sam out. He says it like a pro wrestler or something, but it's cool.
He's like a Uriah Hall type guy who we could have come on all the time, and is just a fun guy to hang out with, and you get to know.
Yeah, we should get it. We should get in touch with him. You know, I mean, Uriah? First of all,
yeah.
I don't. We didn't talk about his fight, did we?
We talked about. I think I might have talked about it with Sam.
Yeah, that's probably right. You could talk about it for sure.
No, I just feel he was in that fight, and. You know, he definitely went out like a warrior. I mean, he was in that fight. That was a fun fight. That was an edge of your seat fight.
How much bigger is Paulo Costa? He's a big dude, right? I saw him backstage. I was just walking into the bathroom, and he was a massive guy.
That big hulking dude.
Holy shit.
Yeah, he just, I think he just looks big, to be honest. I mean, they're pretty similar heights.
Okay. Is he 6'2"?
No.
Let me see. Paulo Costa is 6'1".
Okay.
And Uriah is 6.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
But I bet Paulo Costa comes in weighing a little bit more than Uriah.
Maybe. Yeah, might walk around heavier.
Yeah.
You know, I just brought that up because you brought him up. And sure. We do like Uriah. I'm going to reach out to him either way.
Well,
do you want to talk about some of these fights the other night? Or you want to delve into it when we get to... Well, I want to talk about some of them when we get Anik on the phone. We got Sage Northcutt soon. Yep. Who was very impressive the other night.
Very impressive.
One of my favorite performances.
Let's just talk about his fight real quick. And we could always go back to it later. What was our picks on that? Did I pick that? Didn't I?
So did I.
I'm confused if I know.
No, you got that exactly right, Matt. You had second round knockout, so you got all 3 points. Jimmy, you had third round knockout, and I had decision.
Oh, that's for me, that clap? It has to be. Cause I got
for all of us.
Wait, hold on. No, Jimmy, it's not for you.
I only
not
for it by
you.
One
you got
round.
It wrong.
Jimmy should get like the Longo clap at least.
It's not fucking horseshoes, Chris the producer. Right. He got it wrong.
I'm sorry, guys. How about the first fight?
Because I don't get shit right, so I'm happy. What, Alpha Cat versus Marion?
Yeah. I believe I picked Cat by decision.
You had Cat by second round submission.
What did I have?
You had Cat Zingano, Alpha Cat Zingano by decision.
Oh, wow. I got 2 for 2.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Matt, cleaned
first
up.
First of all, we don't got to do that every time. Yeah. You guys embarrass me when you hit that when I get it right twice. Oh, boy. I'm so happy.
Now with
that. Are we just blowing through these?
Yeah, no. We'll talk about the stage fight. You're bringing it up.
I just want to know how he did.
What?
I just wanted to know how he did.
Who did?
We all did pretty well on the picks.
Yeah, we did, right?
One of us only had 3 for 6, but, you know.
What? Me?
Well, we'll go over later.
Oh, we got to talk about some things here. It's stuff that, even the Bermuda effect, we got stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
On air, Jimmy.
Sure.
Because before we were on air, Chris Medusa asked me, what did you think about that? What happened with Dennis Bermudez? I'm like, I don't know. I could tell you now, or I could wait for millions of people. Am I guessing up by saying millions?
Yeah.
How many people?
You are.
Over
groups of people.
Over 8 million, yeah.
Yeah.
Why are you downplaying the fucking UFC Unfiltered Army? Don't say Unfiltered Army. I know. They hate when we say that.
I know.
They do love us, though, Jimmy. I get such fan mail.
I get
what are you looking at? My right,
we actually
my
got
right
some, fan, some good fan questions for Sage, too, when Sage calls.
Yes, we did.
Okay. Yeah. That got me excited for a second because I thought it was for us. And then we got cool. For Sage.
Well, we didn't ask for us. We just asked.
Ask for us.
People. Okay.
Hey, if you guys got questions, you hit up Man Swamp. What's your fucking name on it?
Man
it's
Swamp.
It's Man, M-A-N-S-A-M-P on Twitter.
Oh, Swamp?
Samp.
Samp?
Yeah.
What is it?
It's a whole thing we don't have to get into, but it's M-A-N-S-A-M-P.
That's you on Twitter?
Yeah, and Instagram.
What's
yeah.
it mean?
What does it mean?
It's short for Mandatory Samson. It was my podcast that I had for a while, and it's just like a meaningless name. Yeah, thank you.
You know, like that?
It's very nice.
Wait a second. What was it?
It's literally it's nothing. It's just a made up name. You know.
All right. Enough. Can we get the business?
Yeah. Well, what did you think?
So if people do have questions, what should they? What's the name of it? What where should they go on Instagram?
Well, in this case, Jimmy? This was on Twitter. It went out under UFC News at UFC
okay.
News.
No, wait, this is us?
Yeah, I'm saying for the questions for Sage, they put up a post and said, Sage is going to be on the show if you have any questions for him.
What?
You just reply to the thread, so you'll see it. And the UFC like main Twitter account's going to retweet, and you know.
All right, but in the future, for questions for us, where do they go? What's what on Instagram? What do they go to?
UFC Unfiltered.
UFC Unfiltered, yeah.
Okay, that's the way they ask the questions.
Sure.
What's your Instagram, Chris the Producer? Why don't you change it to Chris the Producer?
Somebody probably got it now, yeah. It's MANSAMP.
Mansamp.
Yeah, Mansamp. There you go.
I'm a child.
No, come on.
I'm a fucking child. I like that name. I fucking like it.
Thank you.
Mansamp is easy to remember.
What? I thought it was Mansamp.
I got it.
Mansimp. That's what it should be.
I got it before I knew Twitter was going to be a thing. Yeah, I highly regret not getting my own name.
There you go. You know who I have coming today to Sarah BJJ Levittown?
No.
I guess you wouldn't know. But I hate when people do that. And I do that a lot, Jimmy.
I'll just start guessing.
I do that a lot. I'm like, hey, you know what this? And you don't
Travis
know.
Travis Brown.
Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan. Go on. Dog Hogan. The Bounty Hunter.
No.
Frank Gorshin.
Is Facey still around, Dog the Bounty Hunter?
Yeah, he's still doing a show. Oh, I just saw there's some story on Twitter about his wife or something looking thinner.
Did she lose weight?
I think so.
All right. Look at Christopher Deuce again. We're just getting off track. Yeah. Oh, you know what? I'll just tell you. I have the local news, Long Island. The Long Island News, News 12 is coming. And he wants to talk about the incident with the drunk.
Oh, yeah.
And he wants to do like a reenactment.
Oh, hilarious.
So I'm going to fucking take this guy down. I'm gonna add some stuff to it.
So you haven't heard anything about that, like the guy, right? And you never found out who he was or anything?
No.
He's probably embarrassed.
He should be.
Yeah. I mean, if I were him, I'd reach out to you for sure.
Yeah.
I'm glad, hey, man. I'm sorry.
But maybe he's joined. Maybe he'll change his life. Maybe he'll stop drinking.
Imagine if he just reached out and apologized. Like, I was wrong. I fucked
That's
up.
That's all right. Some guy, yeah. You know what it was? After everything was, people are drunk. I know they act different sometimes. But after that thing got, the security came and they got him, he was making very vulgar faces both at my sister, my wife. He's a piece of shit, that guy.
Okay.
So fuck him. So listen, forget that guy. But anyway, so the news is coming by today.
But if he had approached your family, that would have been a bad move for him.
Well, this thing could have been very different. But what's good about it, though, Jimmy, is with Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, nobody got hurt.
That's right. It comes in restraint.
I think it was actually a great advertisement. It wasn't.
How about if he had
like
walked
that.
Over angrily screaming at your table?
Well, listen, Jimmy, sometimes you just got to, you know, you got to control yourself, Jimmy. I remember Hicks and Gracie Henzo. They said, with great power comes great responsibility.
I say that when I'm going down on a woman and she's about to have an orgasm. I stop and I say, with great power comes great responsibility.
It was
she says,
Ben.
Shut up, nerd.
It was Ben Parker.
Yeah.
It was Uncle Ben from Spider-Man.
That's great.
So it wasn't.
They
it
should
wasn't,
do another origin story, that fucking movie. We get it. You're bit by a spider.
Yeah.
Fuck him.
Joe Rogan talked about your video on his podcast. He was saying this is like
I know.
A great example.
I seen
of
that. Somebody sent me that.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, he's the one guy that really got it right because. He goes, look, in the secure, and nobody brought this to anybody's attention. Like, and this is what I was thinking the second was when it was going down, when the security guard, the fat guy came over to me, the first guy, and he's like, you know, he asked me if I was restraining the guy. And I told him, yes, you want to take over? So he's like, okay, yeah, get off him. Now, look, there's going to be a lapse in time here where he's going to be uncontrolled. So I was asking him if he's ready to control him. So that's the first thing that Rogan brought up when he was watching. He goes, look, he's going to ask, are you ready to control him? And he said, and Rogan's funny. He goes, and he's not. Look at him. He's standing up and he's fat. Rogan said exactly. So Rogan is a guy that obviously knows how to defend himself and knows Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt and martial artists for ages.
Yeah, so he kickboxer.
Yeah, so he understands, but especially in the Jiu-Jitsu realm, he knows exactly what's going down in the grappling realm. So I had that shit under control. I could have waited. And I even asked the guy, do you want to wait until some more guys show up?
Yes, I would have.
And then he was getting, but when you don't know, if you're not used to that situation, there's an insecurity there.
Yeah,
and I seen that with him. That's why he was starting to get aggressive towards me. Get off. It's like, hey, dude, you fat fuck. Come down here and meet me halfway. How about that?
Well, he probably doesn't understand what jiu-jitsu is. So he doesn't know how long you're going to be able to keep that guy there. But you could have kept that guy there.
But I was talking to him even calmer than I'm talking now.
Yeah,
so
but,
I think he would have really.
You handled it very
well. Then he shouldn't be a security guy. Right. But okay, enough about that and the fucking millions
I'm gonna call
and millions
Sage,
of views.
Actually.
Let's talk to Sage because I'm proud of that kid, man. He's only 22. He's only 22 years old, Jimmy.
Yes, he is.
Holy shit, man. Right?
He looked great, man.
He looked
awesome.
Really
Zach fucking...
Otto, and that thing started off with him getting...
In the first round.
Hit.
First shot.
Hard. That's awesome, man. That shows perseverance. It shows perseverance. It's not that you want to get caught with that shot, but the fact that he did get caught with that shot early and he weathered and came back and ended up just...
Yep.
Is this the great Sage Northcutt?
Oh, hey, Mr. Sarah. How you doing?
You can call me Matt Sage because it makes me feel so old. I know I could have went to high school with your dad, but just call me Matt. It makes me feel better. And you with Jimmy Norton on UFC Unfiltered.
Hi, Sage. You can call me Mr. Norton. I kind of like it. Nobody else respects me.
All right, you got it.
Amazing fight the other night, buddy.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Listen, Sage, it's not that you want to get caught early and show that you have that, like, you have that the perseverance to weather something and come back. But I'll tell you, it did make it dramatic, and it made it where it shows how far you've come, where you would not accept anything in this fight. In other words, after you got hit and knocked down, I love your groundwork. I love your body. Have you been working that a lot with Uriah and them, your ground game, especially on bottom?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. You know, Team Alpha Male has some of the best wrestlers around, so definitely training with them. The guy I did fought, he was a black belt in jiu-jitsu, which is pretty cool. He has his own studio, which I found out, on jiu-jitsu studio, so that was great to know. So, yes, been practicing a lot. Yes, sir.
Yeah, because Zach Otto was powerful, and he was doing the right thing on top as far as controlling you. So I'm like, man, this is starting off really rough. But, you know, you're hanging out with Uriah Faber, and I remember there's fights with him where he was fighting one jiu-jitsu guy. I don't know, it escapes me the name, where he got, like, foot swept, and it practically started where he was mounted, and he had to get out, and then he ended up winning that fight. So it's definitely, wow. I see it, I see you working with the Alpha Males over there, Team Alpha Male, and it's really paying off for you, because that fight was amazing. And I'm not just saying that because I called you for I called it with a second round finish.
Oh, you did?
Nice. I did, Uriah. I'm Uriah. No. I did, Sage.
Oh, no.
I called him Uriah. Nice. I'm excited.
It's okay.
Jimmy, talk to him. I'm so excited.
Well, you guys are talking jiu-jitsu. You are, since you've been an Alpha Male, and this is your first full camp as a welterweight, correct?
Yes, sir. First time.
You're a different fighter since you've joined Alpha Male. I mean, seeing you,
yes,
and how effective you are off your back,
yes,
how active you are off your back, I mean, it's changed you dramatically in a real short period of time.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I felt very calm down there, which was good. And now I was going against the black belt, and he was trying to hit me and ground and pound me, and he wasn't really able to do that successfully, so I was able to stay calm and avoid all the shots and then escape, so I felt really good about it.
Now, let me ask you, because I don't believe I ever asked you this, Sage. What made you pick? Because you could have went anywhere. Because you're a young prospect. Everybody would love to work with you. What made you pick? I know how great they are. But what made you, your father, what made you guys pick Team Alpha Male? Amazing choice, by the way. But what made you pick that team?
Oh, well, you know what? Uriah Faber actually reached out to me on Instagram, which is really cool. And I've always kind of wanted to visit his gym and check it out. So we ended up linking up through Instagram, talking to each other, and then I went out there to visit for about a week and see the gym and do some training, see how I liked it, and I really liked it. I enjoyed it. The area was super cool, too. Everybody was kind of like brothers at the gym. Everybody hangs out, and it was just a lot of fun for me. So I liked that aspect, too.
You know what I was really impressed with in this fight, too, is towards the end of the first round, he had you down for a while. You were doing really well off your back, staying very active, and you got up with about a minute left. And it was really, really how fast you went after him. And I think you went for a guillotine. Was that at the end of the first round?
I think so. I think it was at the end of the first round. I felt like I almost had it. It was getting close, but didn't quite have it all the way in. So it was close, though.
Right, but he popped his head out with like 6 or 7 seconds left, whatever it was. But the way you turned that round and you finished, I think you finished on top at the end of that round. It was just a very, very impressive fight, and finishing him the way you did. I think you were going for an armbar, which, again, I don't remember if that was in the first or second round. Do you remember when that was?
I don't remember exactly. I think it might have been the first, possibly.
Yeah, well, you were just really good, sure, off your back, man, and it was a really, really impressive fight. And you finished him on the ground, which was, I don't think anybody expected you to finish Zach Otto on the ground.
Oh, thanks so much. I really appreciate it. I've been practicing a lot. So also, I think a big thing was getting to fight at my natural weight. That was huge for me. I've had such a tough time making weight at 155 all the time. I make the weight, but I don't feel like the same kind of Sage. Like my power, my punches, my explosion, my speed, it just doesn't feel the same. I always have great cardio. That's one thing. but it's a little different having your natural weight to be able to just keep pressing, pushing, pushing. So, like, even though he was on the ground for the first 4 minutes of the first round, pretty much on top of me trying to pound me, right when I stood up, it's like I don't get tired. I got to push the pace, stand up, and start lighting him up with my punches and my striking. So I just feel totally different out there.
What was it that made you fight at 155 to begin with, if this is a much more comfortable place for you?
Well, you know what? Before the UFC, I was fine at catchweight to 165 or 170. I decided I want to go to 155 to have an advantage or try to have as much of an advantage as I could to be one of the bigger 155ers.
Okay.
I walk around very lean all the time. I thought that would be a benefit, but even though I was undefeated, I've won five fights in the UFC at 155. It just kind of played a toll on my body. I don't feel like the same kind of stage, same kind of exciting stage I can be in, like finishing stage. Like before the UFC, I love going for the finishes. I always love going for the finishes. Just 155, I don't have that same kind of ability, I don't feel like, at the moment.
What do you think you are on fight day? When you're fighting at 155, what were you fighting at on fight day when you were fighting at 155?
I think I weighed about 175. Probably gained about 20 pounds back.
Okay, you gained 20. And now what do you think you're walking around at when you walk into the cage?
You know what? I forgot what it was. I know the UFC checked. I'll ask them and I'll have to find out. But I know they check you before you go out there. I forgot what it was, though.
Okay, but you're more comfortable. Sometimes it's interesting to watch guys go up in weight, how they become the small. But you look how well Gastelum is doing at middleweight, but Hendricks had a little bit of trouble when he moved up. So I guess it's 50-50. Some guys do well because the weight cut isn't killing them anymore, and other guys suffer right. because they're fighting guys who are hitting at a harder weight than they're used to being hit.
Oh, right. Oh, if you look at the first hit I got hit with in the fight, I think he hit me about as hard as anybody could hit. I blinked my eyes. I've never blinked my eyes before like that. I blinked my eyes, didn't even see the punch coming, and I was going forward right into his punch as hard as he could hit me right in the jaw. So I didn't see any stars. I didn't black out. Nothing happened like that. I got hit super hard, and he got the takedown right off that, which is super clean. And I just feel like a different 155. I kind of feel like when I'm fighting out there, not just by getting hit. I just don't feel like I have the right thinking ability. I kind of feel like my mind's foggy, if that makes sense.
Sure.
I don't really know how to describe it.
Yeah, it's like
maybe it's the weight cut.
Yeah, maybe it's like being tired or not sleeping properly. You know, you've depleted your body, so you're walking around. It's almost feeling like you're a little high or something because you just don't have the energy you're supposed to have.
That would make sense. I can understand that.
What I really enjoyed about this fight, Sage, is how you survive. Because you're always a beast standing up. Looking for a fight until now, you've always been just a beast standing up. But now, like when we see you on the floor and how you weathered such a storm down there in this fight in the beginning, I'm just excited to see for the future. Because now you know, man, hey, listen, it doesn't get a whole lot worse than what you had to deal with on top. You weathered right. it. And the second you got up, some guys are like, whew, they got to take a second. They got the blood in their shoulders. And man, it was right. like you were it was like you were never taken down. You was started thanks, unloading thanks. With fury. It was just so awesome, man, like a superhero. So the more you work your bottom game and your jujitsu and your wrestling, I mean, it's going to allow you just to let your hands and your elbows and your legs fly, because that's the worst that can happen is they get that takedown, and you're shown that you're no chump down there now, man, at all. Not that you ever were.
Thank you. Yes, yeah, sir, man. I agree. Thanks. I was excited to be able to mount a black belt out there and get a choke on him and have him positioned and roll him over so I can troll, then take him out from there. I was super excited about that because I'm definitely improving my ground game. And like you said, I think I'm definitely going to keep working on it, like pretty much every single day, making it better. So now, I'm excited for it too.
Now at welterweight, imagine I don't know. You didn't call out anybody, did you? And you're not a guy to call out somebody,
no, sir.
But I don't think I had to use the bathroom right after your fight. I was so excited. Did you, did I miss anything? Did you call out anybody or no?
Oh, no, sir, I didn't.
Now,
maybe in the future.
imagine a fight now at welterweight. Imagine, and this might be a little premature because I know he's up in the rankings and stuff like that, but imagine like a Sage Northcutt with his style versus a Wonder Boy with a stand. Imagine that fight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is there any fights?
Oh, that's cool.
Now, Sage, I know you are never going to call somebody out because you're just not that guy. You're so freaking nice. You're as nice as you are dangerous. You know that? Now, let me ask you, is there any style? Like you see a guy and go, wow, that My style really matches up well with that. That'd be a fun fight. Is there anybody that you look at that and just that comes to mind? It's not the same as calling him out, Sage. Don't worry.
Right, right. no, you know what? I have to think about that. I think I think my style matches up, and the more I get, the more technique I get, the more just all around tool set I get. I think it's gonna start matching up with a lot of different styles. I feel good, like I'm gonna start matching up with pretty much every style out there, just because I'm becoming more well rounded. I'm trying to make my wrestling just be the best I can be for MMA and be the best, most applicable I can be for MMA. So I think nothing in particular. Do you see anybody that any kind of style certainly that matches up good with mine?
Mike Perry.
Oh, that would be fun. That would be fun and just a personality clash.
Yeah,
or something, you know what I mean?
That would be a fun fight.
He's an exciting guy, right? Exciting fighter.
Yeah, he's a bruiser.
He sure is.
And he's getting more technical too, which is, his last fight when he was looking for a regular double, and he just kept put the guy's feet to the ceiling. And he kept lifting him up. He's so strong. That would be Jimmy. That's a phenomenal matchup.
Mike Perry against Sage Northcutt would be great. Because Mike Perry, I mean, again, he fought Paul Felder, who went up in weight. To fight. And Felder looked really good, and he's extremely tough. Yeah. I think the extra weight, again, especially with a guy who hits like Mike Perry, was a little bit harder. But I would like to see that matchup. And you have definitely... Perry will throw feet once in a while, but you're obviously a much more accomplished kickboxer. I haven't seen enough of Mike on the ground, but what you're doing on the ground is very impressive. So I would love to see Sage against Mike Perry. I think that would be a very, very good fight.
Got my money.
Thanks so much, guys. Hey, Mr. Sarah.
Yes.
I want to say congratulations on the Hall of Fame.
Oh,
that's super
man.
Cool.
This guy. Thanks so much, Sage. Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
I saw a video of you in a restaurant taking that guy out. That was funny.
That's a good. That was. I know. I was with my family, Sage, too. I mean, the guy was out of control. But it really is. If anything that came out of that, it is a good. It's a good look for the martial arts, and I believe it's good for really, in particular, Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And I'm not just saying that because I have two jiu-jitsu schools. I'm saying it's just a really great martial art for everybody, you know, especially in self-defense.
I agree.
You know, so thanks, man. I really appreciate that, buddy.
Really.
And congrats again.
You
know,
thanks so much.
Well, you know what happened in that video, Sage? The guy had walked up to Matt and said, hello, Matt. I'm a big fan. Can we have a picture? And Matt just threw him to the ground and mounted him.
It's not true. Sage, it's not true.
Is that right? That's funny.
Now, you had called for a knockout. You had predicted you were going to knock out Otto. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. I know Otto has, they were saying, has strong punching power. He knocked out his last opponent, Mike Pyle.
Yeah.
And had some knockouts. Black Bone Jiu-Jitsu, really good. But I believe I was about to knock him out, and I did, so that was great.
What type of, and this is, it's a good question our producer came up with, but are you a visualizing guy? Like, are you a guy like that will sit there and visualize this? How do you prepare yourself personally before you go out?
Oh, absolutely. I'm always visualizing. I think it's very important. You got to, you're making sure everything's fresh in your mind. You're kind of like planning out what you want to do out there. Good scenarios, bad scenarios, everything. I mean, that way you can also stay calm out there. I feel like it's important.
But if you, here's the thing too, with people who do like positive visualization, I think Connor was talking about like using The Secret, that book, like that type of thinking.
Darren Till does it a little bit.
Darren Till, okay. So what happens if you do that and then lose a fight? How do you regain the faith in that process that you were doing before?
Well, you know what? Honestly, I always visualize me winning out there. That's the best case scenario, going out there winning and with a finish. But like in the fights I've lost before, I mean, you take it to the, kind of take it back to the gym. You're like, okay, what can I improve? It's not really like, obviously you went out there and you lost a fight. You didn't improve your best, or I guess go out there and perform your best. But you're looking at what can be better. How can you make yourself better? How can you prevent that next time? So,
well, Sage, you did improve. That's what I'll say. And I think this fight for you is, and with such an opponent like Zach Otto was such a, I think this is a real growing fight for you, man, because you had to really deal with it's perseverance, and you had to show a different skill set that you definitely improved on. And I'm so excited because you're 22 years old, man. Sky's the limit. I can't wait for more of your fights, buddy.
Oh, man, thanks so much. I appreciate it. I'm really excited for it, too.
You know, it's because you talk about, I think Matt mentioned fighting Stephen Thompson, who's ranked number 4. I guess the new rankings are not out yet, are they?
Not yet, no.
But they might not give you number 4 yet. there might be one more fight. So if not, I don't even think Perry is ranked in the top 15, is he? Again, unless after
that
fight.
No, I don't know if he's going to jump up, but we'll see. Yeah.
But I would love to see Sage get a ranked fighter. So if it's not going to be Mike Perry, possibly a Ponzinibbio or maybe even a Masvidal, I think would be a great fight. Masvidal against you would be a really interesting fight.
Nice.
But you have no preference.
Oh, you know what? I guess talk to my coaches about it. I mean, my coaches are very smart. I have Uriah Faber as one of my coaches. He's UFC Hall of Fame and super smart, too, and he knows what it's like. So I talk with them about it, and I'll figure it out.
See, Sage's thing is not calling people out, but Sage is such a genuine and nice guy. Yeah. That's who he is. So people are fine with you not calling people out because people just want to see you fight.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Well, good luck, man. It's always good to... Yes. Oh, you know what? I almost forgot. I'm so stupid. We have a couple of fan questions. That good call, Chris. Some fans wrote questions for you.
All right.
So if you don't... What are you saying, Chris?
Oh, I was saying the third one. Maybe it's a good question.
I'm going to start with number six. Sage, what can you bench press? This guy was guessing 350.
Oh, man. That's a good guess. You know what? I don't ever really do single reps, but I'll have to say he's pretty close to that. My brother bench pressed just the other day. My brother is only 19. He was bench pressing like 330 or something or 335 for a couple reps. So he's got some crazy strength too.
I couldn't pull that with a horse, 330 pounds.
That's awesome.
You're almost a decade, sometimes younger, more than your opponents. Does that affect in any way? And do you think of your age as an advantage, a weakness, or a non-factor?
Well, you know what? If you're fighting guys that have been in the UFC for 5-10 years and have had all that experience is something that you have to gain by time. So that's something that you can't just get from being young. But I see positive things out of it too, like the fact that you're young, you have the aggression, you have the strength, the cardio, the speed, and the fact that I have the drive to keep working harder and getting better. So.
What is your okay? And Joe Rogan 50 Bowers, his name is. He wants to know what is your bedtime.
Oh, my bedtime always changes actually. But you know what's funny is that over at Team Alpha Male, one time everybody was getting ready watching the fights together, and I had to get up super early the next morning. So it was like 9:45 p.m. at night. And I was like, man, I was like, Mr. Favorite. I told everybody, I was like, hey guys, I think I'm gonna go back and get some sleep and go to bed. So everybody made a joke saying that my like bedtime curfew was 10 p.m. But no, it always changes.
You just had to get up early. And one more question. You've been working with Team Alpha Male for a little over a year. What's the best piece of advice you have gotten from them, either personal or MMA related?
You know what? There's a lot of great guys in the gym. Top contenders, UFC champion. I think, you know what? It's not about going in there, whatever you're doing. It's not about winning every single day. Like, if you're in practice, you lose some matches. You put yourself in bad positions to be able to learn. It's not about going in there, hey, did I beat this guy? Did I beat this guy? It's about making yourself better. So whatever that circumstance is, if it's something in life or something in your job, figure out what you can do to make yourself better, and you don't have to win everything.
And you uprooted and moved. Where were you living before this?
Oh, before I was actually in Texas. And then now I'm actually in Sacramento. So it's like... an hour and a half from Lake Tahoe, not too far.
And how hard is that to leave your friends or girlfriend or whatever it is you have going on in Texas? How hard is it to just uproot and move at that, you know, because you are a young guy?
Well, you know what? It is pretty hard because, I mean, I miss my family, I miss my friends, I miss everybody. So, but the good thing is they can come down and visit. I've had my family come. We go have fun. We take my truck off-roading and have a blast. So it's nice that they can visit.
Okay, well, good luck, man. You're a nice guy, and you looked really, really good in this last fight, man. I was happy for you. It's nice to watch a guy so young in his career and see him improving with every fight and watch the adjustments. Like, you know, a guy like Francis Ngannou, again, a great slugger, but you watch him, and he didn't change anything for Stipe, and he didn't change anything in the fight after that. You've changed from fight to fight, which is why I think that you're going to have a long, long future.
Thank you very much. Yes, sir.
All right, thanks, buddy. Sage, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Nice
buddy.
Talking to you, Sage.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, talk to you soon. Thanks.
All right, take care.
What a good kid, man.
Yeah, he's a nice dude.
That might be the nicest person
just
on earth. Yeah.
Just so nice, man. He refuses to call me Matt. It's Mr. Sarah, but that's okay. You know?
It's okay. He's comfortable calling
you. Yeah, man. So what time is John Anik calling in?
I don't know.
About 20 minutes we're going to call him.
All right, let's talk about some fights, no? Yeah,
I know what I'm going to do first.
You got Tinkle?
You bet I do.
Tinkle time!
After a stressful game, it's only natural to need some well-deserved rest. Upgrade your current sleep situation because Mattress Firm is offering the best bed deal of the year. Get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price for savings of up to $700. Plus, take home a free adjustable base up to a $699 value. That's $699 for free. You'll only find these deals during Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale. So don't miss your chance to start sleeping like a pro. Shop now at mattressfirm.com/sale. There's nothing worse than being uncomfortable in bed. It's horrible. You're not rested the next day. You suck at work. Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale is offering the best bed deal of the year. Save up to $700 when you get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price. Plus, take home a free adjustable base that's up to a $699 value free. Visit mattressfirm.com/sale for more details.
What up, everybody? This is CJ McCollum from the Portland Trailblazers. And here's a little taste of what we talked about on this week's Pull Up Podcast. Very special mini post-Game 7 episode of Pull Up. An epic Game 7 in Denver.
37 points, back-to-back, essentially closeout buckets. Why were you so successful last night?
I think it just really came down to my demeanor and mindset. Empty the clip, leave nothing out there. I wanted to say I did everything in my power, and I left all my bullets out there on the court and didn't bring anything home.
How do you shift to a completely new animal, an absolute monster in the Warriors?
In the playoffs, it just comes down to X's and O's and execution more so than anything else. The Warriors aren't going to run a lot of plays. They're going to run a lot of misdirection out of timeouts and late clock situations, but most of it's going to be mid-pick and roll. It's going to be pin downs and flares and things of that nature for Klay and Steph in a lot of transition. So you have to guard the three-point line, get back in transition, and make it as difficult as possible on them. Don't forget to
pull up.
Subscribe and listen every week on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.
You know, congratulations to DC, not only on winning the belt, but I'm finally being named the number one pound-for-pound fighter. You know, Demetrius Johnson's great. I mean, no one thinks Mighty Mouse is anything but great. But DC did it in different weight classes and just, you know.
The caliber of competition, not taking nothing away from anybody that Mighty Mouse has fought or what he's done. But DC has fought the best of the best, and he's only lost to John Jones. I mean, that's it.
And he's going to fight Brock.
Yeah.
Hopefully, Brock is, I think, now entered the pool for testing.
Yeah, he's eligible January 8th, I think, is the first time Brock is able to fight. So it'll probably take place around that.
Yoel and DC are kind of going at it a little bit. Yoel said on Twitter, congratulations to you for Saturday. I want to, and then the hashtag, see you soon, boy, with an I. give the people what they want to see me and... Yeah, what is that? ILU.
I love you.
Oh, I love you. Okay, 205 in New York. 205 in New York. DC writes. Or he replied. Here's the deal. I never wrestled Yoel Romero, but in wrestling, he probably would have served me up. He's one of the great wrestlers of all time. But you don't fail a class and then get moved up a grade to the next one.
Well, I mean, that's what I was about to say. Like he. No matter what you thought of that decision, which I thought it was just, and I like Yoel a lot.
I thought Yoel did win it, but I don't mind Whitaker winning it.
It was very close, yeah. But
his karate chop. Okay.
You can't go from getting dropping a decision, getting an L, and then all of a sudden you move up to fight for the championship. It makes no sense.
But he is smart to ask for. Yoel's 40. He's got to ask.
That's a tough one though, because I think that was an unbelievable fight, and I was at that one. I really did think that Yoel, or at least it was a draw. You know what I mean? So,
but at the same time, it's still a loss on paper. So he can't. Right. But I would still want to see it. Listen, I want to see I Brock Lesnar for everything. For all the what do you call that? The
hype
theatrics.
Theatrics. Yeah.
Oh, I said it right. I was worried I wasn't going to say it right.
Yeah.
But now I brought attention that I thought I wasn't going to say it right, Jimmy.
Doesn't matter. We'll edit that. Fix it and post it.
Yeah, it's out.
That it's wrong? Yeah. Did I say it wrong?
No, but the explanation after we...
Okay, no, keep it going, though, because it's me. But now what was I talking about? Oh, besides, I'm not into that because it's bullshit. Like, but people, whatever. I mean,
he's such when a draw
when he walks in there and he pushes them and it's just... I'm like,
I didn't like that.
I don't like it. It's corny to me. But he is a legitimate, like... beast. I mean, the guy's a giant. He's a phenomenal amateur wrestler, which is the real wrestling. And which, you know what I mean?
Sure.
He's not just a fake wrestler. I mean, the guy knows how to grapple. And the guy has beat good guys like Heath Herring and Randy Couture. So
Frank Mir.
And
Mark Hunt.
He is a beast.
He beat Mark Hunt, man, who people thought would knock him out.
Right.
Wait, did he get popped for that one?
That was the one he did. Yeah.
But let's not count that one.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I don't count that one.
Okay.
But I understand what you're saying, but I don't count it. But the other guys he did beat, and fair and square. So I am excited for him to fight because he's big, he's explosive. You know, I believe he's younger than he's a little younger than him.
No, I think he's older.
I don't know. I think around the same close.
Age. Yeah, Brock 40.
Let me see.
Well, they're right there, but you know, styles make fights. So
Brock's 41. Yeah, so he's a little bit older.
Is he going to be able to hold down DC and beat him up? I doubt it very much. But
he's a big guy. DC's never fought a guy that large.
He's a big guy, so that it is going to be fun to watch. So I mean, I don't need. You know, all the WWF stuff. WWE stuff. Yeah. I don't need that shit. I don't need the fake stuff, like him acting like... But that's just probably in him at this point, you know?
Yeah.
And some people dig it. I mean, listen.
DC rolled with it. He loved it.
DC loved it because he knows he's going to be doing well with this. Right. and he deserves it. He deserves a big payday like this to fight Brock Lesnar, man.
He does. We love
shit, that. Man. So, hey, listen. I'm happy for DC. And I love Stipe too. So, but I am. It is weird in this sport. You're happy for one guy. Meanwhile, when you're happy for one guy, it's the other guy's worst nightmare.
Well, when it's two guys you like as much as I like those guys, it's difficult because it's hard to. I would have been just as happy if Stipe won because I like them both. They're nice dudes. So, I mean, that's what it is. When you know the fighters, it's hard to root for or against anybody. So you just kind of have to go with what you think could happen.
Right. Hey, by the way, you didn't read. So Yoel responded to that DC reply on, and it was a great response.
What did he say?
Yoel wrote back. The last time somebody failed a grade and moved up a class looked like it worked good. DC, I see you soon, boy. And he posted a picture of John Jones hitting with the head kick in the second fight. So,
well, John Jones got popped for that one.
Yeah,
so I don't count it. Well, we don't fucking count it.
He did get popped, but who knows what's going to happen with that? But yeah,
but correct. Even knew, well, it's still the jury's
it's
still out.
Yeah, jury's still out. Yeah, we got to see. They didn't
How
rule
long
on
did
that.
It take
yet?
you started a fucking new investigation.
See, but here's the thing though, like Yes, it'd be ideal if USADA could figure stuff out in a couple of weeks. The problem is if John has a ton of supplements or he can't find the supplements he took, they have to test so many different things just to see if they can try to find that showing up anywhere else. So USADA's got to find all the supplements,
right?
You know, test all the stuff. I mean, it does take a long time,
yeah, I guess,
especially
it does.
If he's going to be in his, you know, who knows? But if it comes back that yes, it was a tainted
thing,
was the
they
fight really
got to be
sure.
A year ago,
yeah, July I think 14th.
So another year. So he's fought twice in 2 years.
Yeah.
Or once in 2 years.
That fight was wild, though, man.
No, so it's been about
that
a year.
Was a wild fight.
Almost to the day.
But
since
before that, how long was it?
Yeah, I'm looking right now. Let me see. It was the OSP fight, right?
Yep.
Let's see.
And let's get back to the fight card from
over the
weekend.
The OSP fight was April 23rd, 2016. Yeah, so he's fought two times since April of 2016.
Yeah. Well, he's a freaking stud, and he's a two-division champ.
No, we're talking about John Jones.
What are you talking about?
Jones. We were talking about John Jones.
Oh, back to DC. All right, listen. Can we get back to
DC
the fight this weekend?
DC's
a stud.
Yeah, he really
listen,
is.
Listen, did we even talk about Chad Mendes and Miles Jury?
No.
Let's talk about. We already talked about Alpha Cat. Oh, but we didn't really talk.
Not
about
Not really.
That.
We mentioned it.
I thought it went down pretty much how I pictured it, except when Cat got better as it went on.
Yeah.
And in the beginning, when she was doing her kicks. When she was in her southpaw stance, she was leaving herself. Her head was right there to get hit with that right hand, and it did.
Yeah.
And I was like, "What is she doing?" But she corrected it. Then she started switching stances, using her kicks better, well-timed takedowns that were executed beautifully.
Right.
And even though Renault is tough on bottom and dangerous, Kat was able to neutralize her attacks, and it went pretty for the most part the way I thought it would go. But congrats, man. She got emotional. She needed that. She was down a couple, wasn't she?
Yeah, yeah. I think it was three, actually.
That was good,
She
man.
Beat it. Yeah, that's correct. She beat Amanda Nunes, and then she lost three in a row, and then this is her first win in like 4 years.
You've seen it. You've seen it in her face afterwards, and hopefully this gets her really right, because that wasn't an easy fight for her.
No, Marion Reynaud's been on a good run, too.
And I hope that just keeps that fire lit and burning, and I want to see what's next for Kat, because I want to hopefully she's healthy and get something soon.
Yeah.
Like don't go back on that bench now. You get to use that momentum. Right. You know?
Yeah, she called out Amanda Nunes basically saying, you know,
she might have unfinished business. Yeah, and who wouldn't want to see that? But she'd probably have to go through somebody first.
Well, Nunes, what people want to see is Nunes, Cyborg. And Amanda tweeted this picture of herself signing a contract to fight Cyborg.
Yeah.
And Cyborg is saying that it might happen in Dallas, I think, which would be, and she's saying that it would also be her last UFC
fight. Well, Cyborg was saying she wants to fight in Dallas, which is earlier than when Amanda wants to fight. This is all, you know, it's all them going back and forth on Twitter, so who knows what the real story is. But Amanda wants to fight December 29th, the end of the year card. And Cyborg's annoyed about that because she doesn't want to go a year basically between fights because that was the last time she fought. But she's saying it'd be about a year. And so we'll see. Yeah, she's saying that might be her last fight because her contract's up in March and blah, blah, blah. We'll see what ends up happening there.
Congrats to Kat.
Let's
talk about...
Now, Matt had that properly. I had a second round submission. Matt did have that one right.
Yeah, Matt had that 100% right. We all had Kat. We actually all had the same picks except for the main event.
Okay. All right, let's go to Chad Mendes.
Yeah.
And he's back. He's back after a couple of years. He did
2 years.
Did the crime, paid it, and he did the time. And now he's looking awesome.
He looked really good, man.
I really enjoyed that, man. I think that Miles Jury did not use those long limbs to keep him at bay enough.
No.
It wasn't giving him anything to really worry about to keep him at bay. No. And the way he closed that distance, because they say things about these short guys like, oh, man, you know how... He's got to get close to him. But when you do get that close, that's where you have a lot of power. I mean, you could go look back at that DC fight because when he hit him arms in close. Woo, that's where it's really dangerous.
Short, powerful punch.
Short and powerful.
Yeah.
That's you. That's how we describe you.
Yeah.
Look at me.
I've been called that.
What?
I've been called short and powerful.
Yeah, you flipped that on me. I am so impressed. With Chad Mendes.
I was too.
Who knows? Maybe that break did him good. You know,
he kind of
I mean?
Said that when we talked to him. Yeah. You weren't here for that conversation. Yeah, he was saying like he kind of didn't want to fight the suspension anyway because he had already felt kind of burned out. He was like,
and he has a business he's running, like celebrities who hunt with people. So he was working on that and he was like, all right, whatever it is. He had want to take a break anyway.
How old is he?
I'm going to guess 34.
Yeah, I think it is 34, 33. Let me say, hold on.
I was going to say, because Chris usually says, I want to say, and I was going to wait to see what he wanted to say, and then wait.
He's 33, yeah.
Thank you so much. Sure. And he's a guy that takes care of himself. So, hey, man, I can't wait to see what's next for him. And Miles Jury, I believe, is a young guy, 27, 28?
Miles is 29.
Okay.
But he's still a young guy.
I was getting there. That was my next guess. But he's still a young guy, and hey, man, he got caught. And I'm sure he'll learn from that. And he's had some really good fights, and I'm sure he's going to have some more. So I want to see what's up with him, too. But congrats to Chad. Who picked what with that?
We all had Chad. Jim, you had him by third-round submission. Matt, you had by decision, and I also had by decision. So we didn't get the finish, but it's okay. But that's more Miles Jury. So
now, none of us got Randy Brown, Nico Price.
But first of all,
no.
I mean, that was a rough one. And
I've never seen anybody knocked out like that.
I don't think anybody has been in the UFC quite like that.
No.
There's been up kicks and stuff where guys get hurt. But a hammer fist from open guard leg work, if you see his foot, was hooked behind his neck, which was pretty cool. It was coming, Jimmy. I'm trying. I can't reach the button in time. But I'll tell you, Randy did have a great first round.
He did. Yeah,
he hurt him with that knee that came up.
Yeah, he did.
And he just looked, and he wasn't doing bad the second round.
No.
He was taking away the leg lock. I had guys attacking his legs, and he was taking it away. And they always say it's the shot you don't see that hurts you. And I think it might have got him by surprise. If you watch where they landed, it was like jaw, temple. It was like they were all, everything was on the right spot.
Yeah.
So, and he had some good leverage on that. And listen, Randy Brown will be back. He showed. It's not like he just went in there and got steamrolled. I mean, he was winning the fight. He did great.
Well, he was in a good position when he got finished.
He was in a good position. He was on top when he got finished.
Yeah.
This Nico Price, I'll tell you, he is an impressive. He's a wacky guy, and I like that. It his fighting, it matches his personality.
Can we watch that finish again?
Let's watch the finish. But he's a very, I'm going to say, unorthodox in a sense where he's dangerous everywhere. And he was looking for a leg lock. He doesn't get taken out. Like, look, he got dropped with that knee. And he came back that second round. And he's just a game fighter, man, who seems in shape, well-rounded. Who does he train with, Nico?
I'm not sure. I'm going to have to check.
God, look at the shape he's in, too. Both of these guys are in phenomenal shape.
I've never seen a guy. I mean, Randy is on top of him.
Yeah, he's looking for the leg, and Randy's keeping the weight on him. He's controlling the far leg, and he's doing some decent ground and pound on top.
This is about 4 minutes in the second round.
And he's taken away. He's not.
And Randy's hitting him, too. He's punching.
Randy's doing well.
And he gets up, and he
goes. Now, look, he hooks his left foot behind, and then it was so fast. Wow.
And he hits him with the left hand across the side of his
face.
Do
it again really quick. Let me see it again.
And it didn't even look like the leverage was not good.
Do it again. Wait, hold on. I'm sorry, Jimmy. I didn't mean to cut you off.
The leverage is just not good when he's punching.
Let's look at the strikes. Yeah. So he hooks his head. Look at him hooking the head with his left foot. And that's...
Wow.
It was 3-4 on the jaw and then 1 to the temple.
He pulled that head down a little bit. Is that what he did?
He hooked. He had like his one leg trapped where Randy's sitting on the one leg. And his other leg was on Randy's neck, so it's not Randy's not in danger right now. He knows where that leg is. If it's on his neck, it's not wrapped around his leg, so he's not getting leg locked.
Right.
So he's looking to keep his base and work him over some more, but in an instant, his leg that he was controlling Randy hooks the back of his neck. So then he just hammer fists him. It was so fast.
Yeah.
So fast. I mean. And it was.
Do you think that contributed to the knockout? Does Randy's the other side of Randy's head kind of caught between the fist and the ankle or the bone of the foot? Like I wonder if that contributed to it at all.
Well, I think it was controlling his head from if he normally would hit him with a hammer fist, his head has some leeway.
Oh, he would have shot back.
It could shot back. It's almost like a ground and pound, or if your face is up against the cage and it's nowhere to go, there's no give.
That's right.
So when he hit him with that, it's almost like a push pull where he had his neck and then he almost pulling into it. That was nasty. Really. I mean, Nico Price, he's always got fun fights.
Yeah.
And this was a fun fight for both guys. And Randy has the right attitude. I seen his Instagram post. And he realized that he was more than in that fight. He was doing great.
What did he say on Instagram?
It's kind of you can get to it.
Who's Randy said Brown? Something?
Well, I mean, he said something. I mean, it might be a little long. I don't know if it's too long. You could look at it. But I don't know if I read it. And it was basically saying how, you know, things were going his way. Until they weren't.
They were. That's the thing, yeah.
And, he gave much respect to Nico, said he was a gentleman. And said,
yes.
And then he said that hopes to see him again. Listen, Randy's a fighter, man, and he did look good. Man, did he look good.
In the first round, yeah.
Woo! Those knees come up out of nowhere. He's lanky. But he was doing well on bottom, too, in the second round. On the floor, I should say. Taking away the leg locks. He did take away that leg.
But most guys don't really protect against that. Being hammer-fisted while you're in a dominant position and the guy's on his back. I mean, you look out for it, I'm sure, but I literally have never seen that before.
I don't think we've ever seen a stoppage quite like that.
No. So, I feel like there was one, and I mean, I'm not going to be able to like remember what it was, but I remember somebody landing hammer fists from like a weird angle, but that was crazy. I mean, there's no way you could even prepare for that. No, how would you know that was going to happen?
Man, that was something, dude. But, go ahead.
Nico trains out of Florida. On. He's at Futures Mixed Martial Arts, which he co-owns. And he has his Muay Thai coach, Jeremiah Rodriguez.
He's like in one of those mom and pops. Like he's doing his own thing. He's not on a super team or anything.
No.
Hey, man, listen.
What's his record?
Sorry, we love Randy Brown. Yeah. But Nico Price is another guy.
Nico's a killer.
I want to see what's next for him because he only has one loss.
Yeah, he moved up to 12-1. Yeah.
Wow. What was his one loss?
Recently to, what's his name? Who was that? Shit.
Yeah, Vicente Luque hit him with a Darce choke.
Oh, he caught him, huh?
Yeah.
Where's that guy been?
He's fought. He fought pretty recently, actually. Let me see. I'm pulling up. He knocked out Chad Laprise in May.
His record?
He's 13-6-1 draw.
The one that. Well, who? What's his name?
No, it was back in the day. He had a. I mean,
what's his
2010
name?
Against Rodrigo Medeiros.
Who are we talking about?
Oh, Vicente Luque.
That's what I wanted.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where's John Anik? What time are we getting him?
We can call him in 2 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
What do you want to talk about? Do you want to wait and talk about the Dennis Bermudez fight?
Did
or
I
no?
fart?
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Did you fart?
No.
I smell something. What are you doing? Oh, now it's in your pocket.
It's relaxing.
It was down your pants before.
My dick itched. All right. I just scratched the helmet.
Stop. Come
you
on,
asked.
Jimmy.
My dick itched and I scratched it.
Get back on the card, please.
Sure. And now Dennis Bermudez... Split decision loss.
Now wait, hold on a second.
None of us had that.
Didn't one judge give 30-27 to Glenn? Tell me it wasn't two judges.
Well, 29-28, 28-29.
Yeah, no, 30-27. It was a 30-27, 29-28.
Who the fuck gave 30-27 to Rick Glenn?
I don't know. There was a couple of
But who could have done that? That second round when he took him down 20. How many times did he take him down that second round?
I don't know.
There's lazy judges, man.
But he had six takedowns, lazy. Which a lot of them came in that second round, right? Bermudez.
And then, listen, the first round was the closest.
Yep.
I'd have to see the third round again before I say it's a total robbery. But I remember clearly thinking, all right, cool, man. Dennis Bermudez got that one.
Yeah,
I thought he won the fight.
Oh, I thought he won the fight.
I did too.
But I don't want to feel like, oh, man, I know Dennis. So I don't want to be like biased, but what do you guys think?
No, I thought he did also.
Yeah.
That's why I was asking you before the
show. I was shocked, man. I was like,
it was a good fight. It was close.
But you know what sucks about this for Bermudez is I feel he's got a couple of fights like that. Like,
this is the third split decision.
But his fight with Darren Elkins,
lost.
I remember when he fought Darren Elkins,
yep.
It was one that could have went either way. I have to watch it again, but I remember thinking, oh man, that was close. Like, mm-hmm. I thought it would have, you know? So he has some fights that are real razor thin, man.
Yeah.
And I mean, this fight, I mean, I don't know, dude. I'd have to watch that third round again. But I'm pretty sure, I'm like, no, Dennis has this. I'm not being like, all right, it might come down to this third round if they gave that first round to Glenn. That's what I was thinking. And I remember thinking after that third round, okay, he's got it. And I guess I was wrong.
I agree. I thought he had it also. Yeah. He's only the third fighter in history to lose three straight split decisions, which is incredibly frustrating.
Who were the other two?
I have no idea who the other
two
were.
Oh, really? They were three split? Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Listen, dude, I've had some fights like that where I thought they should have went to me, and I know how that feels, and you know in your heart you didn't lose, or you feel, I mean, the guy didn't, he wasn't beaten. I mean, I don't know. I just think he's too good a fighter to be on a three fight slide, you know?
Right. Oh, you know who else has had three straight split decisions? John Volante.
Oh, yeah?
I just Googled it, yeah.
Well, losses?
Yeah, he lost three straight split decisions. But again, that's, you know,
it's
a couple
weird
of those.
Two Long Island guys.
Yeah.
You know? But, hey, man, I mean, and listen, props to Rick Glenn, tough guy. And it's not like he's no lemon on the floor. He was doing good down there, too. But I just thought that Dennis was a little more dominant, man. And some of those takedowns were really cool.
But 30-27.
No, 30-27, right?
Insane.
What judge would do that?
Dude, you see these lazy judges sometimes, like once in a while.
I fucking know. They deserve that, the judge. That, yeah. Whoever gave the 30-27, that is fucking...
It's lazy. It's fucking lazy.
Yeah. All of them.
Well, but then also earlier, the Alex Volkanovski-Darren Elkins fight, which I don't know if you guys saw or not, but that was 30-27 one judge and then 29-28, but it felt like Volkanovski won all three rounds. So it's like it goes both ways.
He's looking good.
Yeah, and I was telling Jim.
What is his record?
I'll look it up. I think he's on a 15-fight win streak.
Holy
but
shit.
Wow.
He tore something in his rib, like warming up for the fight, and came out, didn't pull out of the fight. There's video. He is 18-1. Yeah, he's won 15 fights in a row now.
In the UFC, he's...
He's got five straight in the UFC.
He hasn't lost in the UFC.
Has 5-0 in the UFC, 15.
Who did he fight before this?
Jeremy Kennedy, he knocked him out, punches and elbows.
Give me the other ones.
Shane Young, he has a unanimous decision win over. Mizuto Hirota decision, and Yusuki Kasuya, knockout.
I think it's time to up the ante with this guy.
Sure, yeah.
Let's give him
some. He called out Chad Mendes, so.
Oh, he did?
He did, yeah.
Ooh. Well, listen, I mean, skilled. And where's he coming from?
No, I just closed it. I don't know. Hold on.
You want to say what?
No, I didn't say it.
I want to say.
Well, he fights out of New Zealand, I'm pretty sure. He's Australia.
That's funny. I was playing my Vive last night. And I was playing. They call those guys Kiwis? What do they call them?
New Zealanders, yes. So Kiwis.
Because I was playing with two Kiwis on there, they call them.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not a big story, but they were talking in that language. And I'm like, hey, where are you guys from? He's like, where are you from? You got an accent. I can't do it as New Zealand.
That's perfect.
And you like it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you like it as much as Longo's Christopher Walken.
Oh my God, that sounds great.
You like Longo's Christopher Walken?
Amazing.
Awful, though.
You know who I think he trains with, Volkanovski? I'm pretty sure Stylebender, Israel Adesanya. I think they come from the same gym, or at least they've trained with each other. Yeah, out of Australia. Yep. You want to call John Anik? We can talk about the main
event. Yeah, let's talk about that, and we'll talk about a couple more fights with him. Yeah. And then put those fights back up, because you got it stuck on the Dennis Bermudez thing. Yeah. You know? It's throwing me off, to be honest. Jimmy, it's good to see you again, Jimmy.
You too, buddy.
You know, I'm trying to get back on my diet now. I'm back home.
It's hard. Dude. I ate like a shit last night, too. It's difficult.
I've been eating a little good. Well, I got some pizzas during the fight, but it was whole wheat pizza.
Hey, John, how are you? It's Matt and Jim.
What's up, John?
What's up, fellas?
How is everything?
I'm doing well, all things considered. How are you guys doing?
Good, good. We were just talking about the card, the Boise card. What did you think of Bermudez? Yeah, 30-27 from one of those judges.
I thought across the board this was about as bad a night as the judges have had collectively, when you can have 99% of the masses feeling pretty strongly about seeing something, and the three scorecards, or at least two of which that really matter, could have different opinions. But yeah, no, that's outrageous. I mean, where do we start, right? I mean, we could just go fight by fight. You know, no bathroom breaks mid-round, guys. You know, I don't know what the problem is. I think a lot of us have solutions, you know, canceling noise, getting at least five judges, which Joe Rogan has talked about for years. But, you know, I just don't know that collectively there's a way for the UFC to sort of get a hold of the judging and get that control over the commission. So this ain't going away.
That 30-27 is what really got sure. me with that. I'm like, man, if they want to do it, like, I had two rounds, but 30-20, how could you give that second round to Rick Glenn? I don't know.
I was
shocked. Go ahead, Johnny.
No, I thought too. I mean, if you look at even the referee in the Saeed Nurmagomedov Justin Scoggins fight, Nurmagomedov gets a position on the ground, starts throwing punches, and they stand him up right away.
Oh, I hate that shit.
I mean, you don't need to be watching the sport for 10 years or 5 years to know that that's not what the referees paid to do.
Do you think sometimes they respond to crowd noise? I think once in a while a ref will hear booing. And then they see somebody, who's not advancing as fast as they think you should, and they just stand them up. It's almost like to shut the crowd up.
Right. I mean, it's easy for me to sit here, right, and not have that job and criticize. But, yeah, I mean, I think there's some human nature that comes into it. I just don't understand why a judge would ever have any noise other than white noise in their ears when they're watching these fights. There's no reason. That we can do tomorrow.
You know what I've seen on Instagram, which I like? It's a great picture of when DC won his fight, and he's got his arms up, and it looks like he's looking right at you, and you got your arms up outside of the cage standing up. You know that picture I'm talking about, John Attic.
Well, I know we locked eyes for a second. I hopefully he won't deny that, but no, I mean, he's a special human being, as you guys know.
There it is.
To see him break through like that and to see it come to the surface that maybe he didn't put that much stock into his light heavyweight championship, nor his ability to defend it three times, that this was the breakthrough moment for him. This was the Olympic gold. You know, it's amazing to see him exhale the way he did. And, we're all just very happy for him. And I also think, too, a lot of us have known that despite the body fat percentage, this is one of the most elite athletes on the roster, and that he was very much capable of doing what he did last weekend. So, yeah, needless to say, very happy for our guy, and he's got commentary gigs coming up, so he better get focused.
I was a little nervous for him when I saw him walk in, because, again, you knew he was fighting 40 pounds heavier or something that he normally does, and he looked heavy, and you're like, oh, man, I hope he gets cardio. And again, he's such an amazing athlete, but I don't think anybody saw him knocking out Stipe in the first round. I don't think anybody saw it ending like that.
Yeah, certainly not the round one component to it, but if you do take DC and his coaches at their word, Rosendo Sanchez and everybody else, they were finishing guys and felt like he was very much capable of this type of finish. But the fact that it came early, I think, was unforeseen by everybody. But I think they just put a lot of stock into what they do. And the other thing, too, is DC's fight IQ and his competitive spirit. You know, it's hard to put into context what he's done in sort of an American sports lexicon, but I've seen a lot of athletes, and Jim, I know you have, and Matt, this guy is a very special competitor, and it may sound trite, but his ability to sort of rise to the occasion, we said on our show that if he was on the wrong end of the eye poke, you know, DC would have made sure he was right before he got right back in. You know, his gamesmanship, he didn't let the moment get away from him, and I thought that sort of competitive nature was going to, you know, do him well in the fight, and it certainly did.
What did you – oh, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, both you guys talking about, like, he looks a little chubby. I just watched an old clip of him fighting Chef Munson. So they show them, I saw it somewhere on Instagram. They have like a little clip of him weighing in, him and Chef Munson. Now, Chef Munson, for people that don't know who that is, he used to fight back in the day in the UFC. He was an Abu Dhabi, powerful grappler. He's got tattoos all over, and he looks like a He-Man figure, just huge and strong. And then you look at, and this was way back in the day when they fought. And then you look at Daniel Cormier, and back then, I swear he was heavier than he was now.
That was heavyweight?
This was heavyweight. He never lost that heavyweight. And if you'd see him on the scale, if you saw both these guys, you'd go, oh, look at this fat guy. He looked chubby. He looked really chubby. And he went out there throwing high kicks, and he could move. That's Jeff Munson right there. We're showing pictures.
Yeah, is there any video of them, Chris?
If you see a video of those two, And again, that fight was probably ages ago, but he could move for a big, for being, he could move being chubby. And I kind of, I like him more for that.
I think we all do. I mean, I don't know how you couldn't be endeared to that as a fat kid, right? I even remember Jim Norton talking about got to wear those small T-shirts, right? Every time I squeeze into a medium, Jimmy, I'm thinking of you. But if DC gets knocked out, if DC gets knocked out by Stipe, you know, people are coming in saying he's heavy, and, you know, he was too slow in the pocket, you know. So I think the narrative changes on a dime. But I do think if DC and Stipe fought 10 times, DC wins 7 or more.
You know what it is, too? It's just when you see a guy who's, again, 39, going up to fight a guy who is the heavyweight champion, that to me is where the weight made me nervous for him. Because, again, DC's cardio is so good. He trains with Kane. There's no doubt about his ability. It was just after a certain amount of time when you're putting that on and you have to fight a guy who has been fighting at the same weight for a long time and murdering everybody. That's what concerned me. But, yeah, DC's one of those guys. It's like Fedor. Fedor was never ripped. You know, certain guys are just never going to look ripped. And, yeah, you could see back then. Yeah, you're right. DC's a barrel kind of guy. He's a stocky dude.
Wait, now, John, what'd you say now? You said that out of 10 times, 7 win.
He thinks DC would win 7 out of 10 times against Stipe.
Oh, is that what you said?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's the better fighter, and I think he was very convicted in that. I think he's the better athlete, and I think he wins 70% of that matchup, probably. I don't know.
We're actually watching Munson. We're watching Munson DC as we talk to you. And in the first round, DC just threw a right leg kick, which literally almost spun Munson around. He really is just a smart, great fighter. And I'm happy for him that he got knocked up. Again, I don't know what it means to these guys, but number one, pound for pound, he certainly deserves it.
And DC's ready to go right out of the chute, right? Look at the last John Jones fight. Even with an uppercut very early on in the fight, knocked his mouthpiece out. Certainly that was his big moment in that fight. But he's ready to go right out of the chute. And for a lot of athletes, you know, I don't know how you were, Matt, fight to fight in terms of how quickly you started. But DC's ready to go. He gets by those mental demons. And as soon as they touch gloves, he's on point.
What do you think what happened with Brock at the end of that fight?
Well, I think it escalated maybe a little bit further than some people would have liked with the shove. I think DC, as the foremost pro wrestling fan on the roster of UFC fighters, was a little bit taken aback at maybe just how strong Brock was with the push. But even if Brock Lesnar wasn't in the building, Daniel Cormier was calling out Brock Lesnar. So I don't know that the big picture narrative changed at all. DC loves the WWE, has a lot of respect for what Brock accomplished in that realm as a collegiate wrestler, as a UFC champion who defended his title. And DC likes money, too, and has children, right? Dependents. So I just feel like DC was going to go in this direction. And, man, if he hasn't earned it, you know.
Well, to see DC going, Brock Lesnar coming. I guess I didn't realize he liked WWE so much, but it makes sense now that you say that.
He looked happy.
He probably didn't mind Brock shoving him. He knows that even though people are like, oh, it's wrestling, that still is going to get people interested. Now they're talking about Brock and DC.
Oh, for sure.
DC goes to like WrestleMania every year. I mean, God love him.
He does,
I mean,
right?
That's his, he's all about it. And this is a fight that obviously had tremendous appeal for him, I would think, in a dream scenario for a long time, but they would talk about John Jones and Brock Lesnar and put out a betting line for John Jones and Brock Lesnar when neither was eligible to compete. So for DC to potentially realize this fight, you know, he should be calling Brock and telling him to stay clean and toe that line.
You know, I honestly have a lot of respect for Jones, but I think DC has a better shot against Brock. I think that's a better matchup for DC. Even though Jones is such a great fighter, I think on the ground with Brock on top of him, DC has a better chance of surviving that onslaught than John would.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I'd also say, too, if DC fought Alexander Gustafsson 10 times, I think that's 5-5, right? Like, I thought the Stipe fight was a better matchup for DC than Gustafsson is down a division. So, I definitely think that what you said is true. And I just think DC and Brock, big picture, is competitive on paper. I mean, on merit, I'd like to see Curtis Blaydes get the opportunity, but I'd also like to see my 39-year-old friend get wealthy, right? And I think he's earned it.
You made a good point with Gustafsson. I kill everybody.
Just Alexander.
Can I say Alexander?
AG.
AG. You got a good point with AG. No, you really do, because, you know, it might just be that DC's just better at welterweight, at heavyweight. I mean, he never lost. Who knows what that weight cut did to him? And he looked awesome at light heavy. But who knows what that weight cut done to him? He never lost at heavyweight, and that's really, it was really overlooked before this fight because everybody's like, look at Stipe on this. I mean, he's a freight train. He's blowing through all these guys. He's knocking them out. And but DC never ever lost to that and that weight. He might just be a different guy at that weight. So, you know, I am excited for the. I could deal without all the theatrics,
but I don't mind it because it will be a fun fight.
But I am looking forward to that fight though. You know, and I am happy, super happy for DC because he is such a good guy. Who doesn't like that guy?
And I'm a big Curtis Blaydes fan too. What is his record, John? You know,
I don't know what it is offhand, but I know he's won 6 in a row. He's been favored in every one of his UFC fights. And you guys know, I don't have to tell you, Vegas is always right. And he's just very deserving. And I thought too, in his last fight against Alistair Overeem, he did what you need to do to get a title shot, right? He went out and he plastered the guy's face with like scars for life. You know, and that's what you need to do in those title eliminator type situations. But, you know, he's not blind to the fact that this fight was on the horizon. And again, I just think a big part of this is DC loves this angle, you know, and a Stipe rematch, at least financially, doesn't have any upside, nor does a Blaydes fight really financially for DC. So it's the time and the place, and it's right now. And I think it's going to be interesting if Shogun wins this weekend, if DC indeed drops back down, because he made a lot of good points, you know. The weight cut, the accompanying 25 minutes potentially, nothing easy about it at 39 or otherwise. So it's a lot of different layers to DC right now, but the ball's certainly in his court.
Johnny, what do you think's next for Francis? What's next for him now? Who do you think's next for him?
Some suggested you give him sort of a Stefan Struve, Marcin Tybura fight. I bring those names up because they're fighting this weekend. Somebody coming off a loss potentially. A confidence-building type fight. But you guys know there are no guarantees.
No.
Tybura would certainly take exception to that statement. So, but I think somebody in that, you know, lower half of the top 15. But he's just got to get the confidence back. That's the thing. I mean, you can give him a less dangerous opponent, but that staring contest, I still don't know what to make of it, you know, a week out.
I mean, what do you mean?
Go ahead.
Sorry.
Well, I understand he was reserved, but it still doesn't make logical sense how they could be historically inactive. And relative to the expectations going in, it's the singular worst fight in UFC history.
The fight. I'm sorry, buddy. I thought you meant something in the weigh-ins or the stare. I misunderstood you. Okay.
Sorry.
I would like to know, and I want to go back and I want to listen to it, is the corner. I want to hear the corner of both Derek Lewis and I want to hear the corner of Francis. And I want to see what they were saying in that last round. That's what I want to hear. Because they have to say, look, man, you haven't done anything for 10 minutes. Yeah. So now it's not a question of you getting tired. You have 5 minutes. You got to go out there guns blazing. You're embarrassing everybody, yourself, everybody that's your team, the sport. You got to pull the fucking trigger, Jimmy. Right?
Man,
Johnny, I get worked up, Johnny. I wish I was in that corner. No. I hit him with a fucking bucket. I'm sorry. All right, I'm back.
Yeah, no, you know what? You make me want to go to Fight Pass and look back at that because both of them have skills, right, and aren't inherently low-output fighters. I mean, I know Derek Lewis has countered as a style at times, but, man, I don't know. And especially to the Black Beast, and I understand he came out the better in this equation, but he was the guy who really wanted that fight. And I know his back was an issue and other things, but I really – you know, I felt like he was going to really try to put an exclamation point on his sort of contendership, and he certainly didn't.
A terrible fight for Lewis. Again, I love Lewis because he admits it when he stinks or when his fight stinks. Ngannou's a different story. Because Ngannou, again, I like Ngannou's honesty, where he said, I was still carried over my fear from the last fight. Like, most fighters won't admit that they underestimated an opponent. Most fighters won't admit that they were carrying over fear. But I don't know if it's his camp, but I've heard rumors that he doesn't really like to wrestle, and he's not necessarily training with heavyweights. And I've mentioned that before because I heard the rumor floats around. And if that's what he's doing to keep his confidence up, he's doing himself a terrible, terrible disservice.
Wow. No, I mean, that's interesting. If true, that's a lot to digest. We've heard certainly guys who talk about trying to stay true to what got them there and not necessarily trying to become something they're not at relative stages of their career. But it's not like Derek Lewis is some takedown artist. I mean, I think he's maybe has the best ground and pound in the division once he gets you there in terms of force. But yeah, a lot of sort of weird issues with Ngannou, because a lot of his training, I would think, would at least be rooted in being able to go a hard 15 minutes. And I don't know. You know, I'm no conspiracy theorist, but that was just a weird watch for all of us.
It really was. And when you look at, like, we just talked to Sage before you, and I mentioned the Ngannou fight, and you look at a guy like Sage Gross, the alpha male, and the way his he's fighting off his back, he's so active. He's like a remarkably different looking fighter than he was a year ago, or 2 years ago. And now you look at Ngannou, and it's like almost nothing has changed. And it's like, if nothing is changing, it's either your mentality or your trainers, because you have to adjust when you see the level of competition. I mean, you can't do the same thing against Derek Lewis that you did against Stipe.
Right. Good news for him. You know, he only had one camp with John Wood at Syndicate MMA, so you'd like to give John the benefit of the doubt and see if he can get results with another camp stacked upon this one. And you can't go down, right? There's only one way to go. But, man, that first round, he's always compelling, and you guys, you know, sort of got ahead of the curve when it came to Francis Ngannou, but imagine how compelling his next minute of UFC action is going to be. Like, what are you going to do? It's going to be wild.
Yeah, it's how much of it is in his head, because sometimes, again, Ronda lost, and then you saw she came back against Amanda and had an even tougher time. Sometimes, you know, if somebody has a tough fight, I think it can do a lot of damage to them, and other people just kind of bounce right back. Like, Stipe is not a guy who you see as being... Because I don't think Stipe sees himself as irrationally invincible. Like, he knows he was the best fighter on the planet, but I think he's more of a technically thinking guy. And his confidence isn't necessarily destroyed by a loss. He'll probably look at that and go, oh, okay, I got to work on this. Or, hey, look, he just caught me. Fuck it.
Right. Yeah, I think the latter, just that I can catch him. And Stipe probably thinks he beats DC 7 out of 10 times. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think he'll be able to get past that roadblock. Ngannou will be able to. But I don't know. You know, maybe there was a bad knockout in training. I mean, there's a lot that stays undercover. But there's some fear in there that I think extends beyond the conditioning, for sure. So we'll see if he can get it right. But yeah, I think they'll matchmake him very cautiously, though, for sure.
What did you think of JDS against Blagoy Ivanov?
You know, I think this show in Boise gave us so many different things to talk about. We talked about the judging, and Sage Northcutt obviously was the biggest storyline, I think, for me and Chad Mendez. You know, main event was okay. I think, as a lot of people echoed on the post-fight show, would have liked to maybe have seen Dos Santos do more with the showcase, although Ivanov is one tough motherfucker. I think you can say that. But yeah, I mean, I think they're looking for more. I think if JDS, he knew he wasn't in a position to call for a fight with Daniel Cormier, right? Get without a finish. And that's why I just think what Curtis Blaydes did is so important. So yeah, it left a little bit to be desired, but I thought the rest of the show certainly made up for that. I mean, Nico Price, I think you get one finish like that, I mean, I'm all in for 7 hours.
Yeah. I mean, that was, we were talking about that earlier, and Randy Brown was looking really good before that. I mean, you got to give him, I mean, his credit. I mean, that first round was great. And that second round, he was doing the right thing. Yep. He was taking away. He was keeping the weight on the leg, taking away the other leg. And then I'll tell you that Nico Price really is his the way he fights is, it matches his personality. It's like wacky. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He's a wild card. He really is. I think he's a little bit of a dark horse. There's something very violent about the way he puts people away, and he's a creative guy. And you're right. I mean, the fighting style absolutely dovetails with the guy walking the streets.
Now, have you ever seen, Matt and I could not think of another case, have you ever seen anybody finished from the bottom with a hammer fist like that?
No, I think they were saying that he was first or second, maybe to do it off of his back with strikes in that way, but first with the hammer fist. And just the way, I'm no technician, but the way he curled his foot behind Randy's, I mean, insane.
That took away, because, you know, if you get hit with a shot, your head can go back a little bit. That took, that held the head in. It's like somebody having a hand behind your neck holding your head.
Right.
Or somebody
me.
Else hammer fist you.
Yeah.
Like, Jimmy, if I grab your neck like this and I start fucking hammer fisting you, that's going to suck.
Sure would.
Compared to just normally hammer fisting.
Nah, either one.
Jimmy,
would
I'm sorry for grabbing you. You're looking at me weird now.
Why?
Oh, I'm sorry.
It wasn't my neck. He grabbed my throat. Matt's a bully.
Hey, Johnny, how's your podcast going with Kenny Florian and the Ray Longo Minute?
It's good, man. I mean, we talked to Longo this morning. He doesn't have air conditioning in his office, so he was sweating bullets. He probably lost 2.5 pounds, so he was happy because he's trying to lose weight. But no, it's good. You know, it's nice to have an outlet, obviously, because this Boise show, which, you know, it's a tough act to follow, UFC 226, and yet this Boise show gives us so much content. So it's nice to have that outlet, be able to cuss a little bit, have fun with my man Ken Flo, who I go back a ways with. So it's good. You know, we're not doing Jim Norton, Matt Sarah numbers, but we're the little engine that could. You know?
Well, I want to jump on soon. And before I forget, listen to me. Congratulations. You caught up to me with kids. Hunter Anik is now in the world. And that's a beautiful thing, man. Yes, you deserve applause for your newborn.
Yes, you do. Congratulations.
Well, thank you, Joe. We're in it right now. I mean, I don't like newborns, I'll tell you that, you know. But we're 3 weeks in. We're climbing along. And, you know, we're outnumbered, but I got a great wife, you know. I mean, you can't marry the wrong woman, you know. You cannot marry the wrong woman, whatever you do.
Oh, trust me. I know. I'm with you with that, Johnny. It's not going to work because I have some friends. I've seen people married to the wrong woman. It's fucking, it's frightening.
I almost proposed to the wrong woman, you know.
Oh, man.
So.
Me too.
Yeah, be careful out there, gentlemen.
I know she's listening right now, and she's hating your podcast right now and everything else about you. Your ex. No, I'm listening. Listen, it's good to dodge a bullet with that shit, isn't it, Johnny? I did the same thing.
No doubt.
but you did. You caught up to me with kids. The first six to, you know the deal, Johnny. The first 6 to 7 months is like, they're just sitting here. Then they start getting their personalities, and then it's a lot of fun. My wife wanted another one, a fourth. And I said, let's talk about it. I'm like, oh, Sarah, honey, I'll give it some consideration. I'll just fuck that, Johnny. I'm out with that. I got three kids and I'm out. I don't need I mean, listen, you have two girls and a boy, right?
Yeah, but you're talking about a fourth when I got a 3-week-old. It's like a rib shot. I just literally lost my appetite as you said that. Fourth, no.
Right off, was too much. My wife couldn't. She's like, but you knew I wanted a big. I go, what? We have one. I mean, there's five of us.
Yeah,
talking about. You know, we're at the Red Rock. We're hanging out.
All right, John. Look, always great talking to you. You're doing such a great job. Love listening to you, and I love when you're calling a fight.
Yeah,
so
and I love running into you, Johnny.
Well, thank you, guys. You know I love chopping it up with you, and hopefully we can have you guys on our podcast separately. I got a lot of non-MMA questions for Jim Norton I got to get to on a different platform. So,
anytime, buddy. I will be love to come on.
Maddie, love you, buddy. Thank you, guys. Awesome, man.
Thanks. Right. Thanks, Johnny. See you, John. Bro.
Great John Anik.
Yeah, John's great, fun, man.
Play-by-play, I guess.
He's a good good energy, great. Good dude, man. I've hung out with him before, and I like John a lot, man. Yeah. Just a nice guy. You know what I noticed when I was there the other day, Jimmy? I'm asking you again. I should just tell you what I noticed.
Tell me.
We're almost out of here.
Is this your new, that's your version of, I want to say.
Is what, when I ask you asked, something, yeah. Just to get the conversation going?
Sure. Yeah.
Well, listen. Maybe it is. Okay. But it's just such a good time, man. I get so much love from all the, see, I know the UFC people for so long, the brass, everybody that's been around, all the other fighters. It's like, because, you know, you just used to seeing them every how many months and for years. So when I run into like the Uriah Fabers and all the other
nice
guys.
Seeing him,
man, I just, it's like a reunion, man. Well, I get along with like 99% of the people. 99, like 0.9.
That's true.
You know,
you're very personable.
Well, you know, Jimmy. All right, guys. Listen, I had a great time. I feel we're back. And I think we talked about everything. Jimmy, there's nothing else to talk about.
You can see me in Montreal. I'm going to be doing the 25th and 28th. I have two headline shows up there. Just go to jimnorton.com for tickets if you're a Canadian fan. Hilarities in Cleveland in August and the Chip Chipperson podcast in Long Island. Boston is sold out. Long Island, there's still a few tickets available.
Long Island?
I'm doing the Paramount.
Don't bring that piece of shit, Mike. Listen to me.
You'll come to the show.
Listen to me right now.
Yeah.
You don't need my permission. But you didn't ask for that guy to come.
Lot of people showing up already. A lot.
Maybe he'll have one more. Where is it? So.
The Paramount Theater.
If I show up, I don't know how good it's going to be.
It'll be great. You'll joke with Chip.
We'll do a reenactment with me and that other little drunk asshole.
Because there's going to be another drunk takedown at that.
I know we'd get some fucking hits. Imagine Chip fucks me up. Imagine Chip hits me with a chair or something.
That could happen.
Don't do that face. Guys, listen to me. You don't have to train with me. But you really should train. Train jiu-jitsu. Train Brazilian. Mixed martial arts, great. I love mixed martial arts. I love watching UFC and MMA and everything else. Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Learn to defend yourself. All right, everybody. All right, listen to me. I had a great... Jimmy, don't fucking do that face. I hate it.
Chip,
he's doing that fucking chip face. Chris, the producer.
Yeah.
What else do we got to say?
Nothing. We'll see you. Talk to you guys on
Then say goodbye.
That's it. Goodbye.
See you Thursday.
Bye.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.